They'll come back right about the time we're singing the last song. For the rest of you, if you'll turn in a Bible to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. If you are using the Bible in front of you, you should be able to find that on page 946. We've been doing a topical series for this month on mission, the church outside the walls, and what we've seen so far from 1 Peter 2 is that a part of our mission is that we are those who are to declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and brought us into His marvelous light. And we not only do that while we're here in this building, but we do that out there, praising God in various ways. Last week, we talked about the mission of love, that love really is the mission, that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, that we're to care for people. And today we're going to take a look at one more aspect of our mission, the call to evangelize. So let's take a look at what God has to say from Romans chapter 10. We're going to be reading verses 11 through 17. This is God's holy an inspired, inerrant word. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, for the way you teach us, you correct us, you rebuke us, you train us in righteousness by it. Teach us today, rebuke and correct us today, train us in righteousness today by your Holy Spirit. And just as the Lord Jesus came down from heaven to proclaim the good news and to live out that good news by actually dying for our sins and rising from the dead, help me as I walk down from this pulpit to address your people, that what I have to say would be good news, helpful news. And Holy Spirit, would you give us all ears to hear and hearts that will receive what you have to say to the church today. Do this for your glory. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one true God, for the good of this particular church and for the good of this community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Story goes that a young man applied for a job as an usher at a movie theater. And of course, he got the job, and then he had to be trained on what it means to be an usher. And so the manager is walking him around and showing him various things and talking to him about his duties as what he's supposed to be doing. And part of what he does is he points out where the exits are. He says, notice there's an exit over here, and there's an exit over here. That's where people need to go. That's what needs, and if something happens, that's where, you know, you need to go. And he says, okay, I got that. So the man thought he would ask and say, you know, ask him a question and see how well he was learning. And he said, so what would you do in case a fire broke out? And the young man answered, oh, don't worry about me. I know where all the exits are. I'll be fine. You see what he did there? He's an usher, and he was supposed to help the people out. That was the answer he was supposed to give. But instead, he said, oh, I know where the exits are. I'll be fine. Forgetting that he was supposed to help others. Last week, we talked about how there is a sense in which the calling of the church is to love others. And there are very specific ways that we can love one another. We can love other people. I can't think of one way of being able to love people well as a church without doing what we're going to talk about today. There are lots of ways to love people, and we need to love people in those ways. But this is one particular way of loving people that I think we sometimes forget about. You see, part of the mission of the church is to tell others about the good news of salvation in Jesus. That's what it looks like to love people, at least in part. Part of the mission of the church is to tell others about the good news of salvation in Jesus. And we all know this. And if you've been a church member for a while, you're probably going, oh no, here's another sermon about evangelism and how we're supposed to do it and how we're not doing it. And maybe you feel that way. But it's important for us as a church to recognize if we are on mission, and we are, then Jesus gives the orders. Jesus calls the shots. Jesus is the one who tells us what we are to be about. And part of what he says is, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's from Matthew chapter 28. Part of what Jesus says in Matthew 9 is, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And the early church understood this. The early church sent those people out to proclaim the good news of salvation. And Paul the apostle was one of those. And we know that he went all over the place sharing the good news of Jesus. And even when he was in prison, he writes to the church at Colossae and he says, pray for us that God may open a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. Even in prison, Paul knew he was still on mission. And he was saying, pray for us that there would be an open door, that we would have opportunity to share about Jesus with other people. And that's part of what Paul is getting at in this passage. But maybe you're thinking, well, what good news is there to share? I mean, you know, just a few minutes ago, Gifford prayed for us, and he said, there's a lot of bad things going on in the world. A lot of strife. A lot of dissension. A lot of problems. If you turn on the news, you're not going to hear very much good news, are you? And that's what makes this so powerful, because we do have good news to share. Great news to share. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, is what this passage says. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Saved from what? Sometimes I think we forget. We use the Christianese, the language of the Scriptures, and we just talk about, are you saved? And a person may say, from what? And what do we say? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes, that sounds great. What are we saved from? Ages ago, there were two people who had it all, and yet they broke God's law. And that plunged all of humanity into sin and death and misery. And every bad thing we see happening today, it is as a result of that fall. We have all sinned, every single one of us. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, just like our first parents. And the wages of sin is death. Did you know that death was not the original plan for human beings? Did you know that if Adam and Eve had not sinned, they would not have died? To us, that seems crazy, because who among us doesn't die? It's a part of life, is the way we think about it. But that's because we live immersed in this fallen world. Sin came into the world. Because sin came into the world, death came into the world. When we do not obey what God has said, when we do not think the way God tells us to think, because He created us and He knows what's best for us, and yet we go astray from that, that's called sin, and sin always leads to death. But the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, He took on flesh, and He lived among sinners, and He obeyed perfectly in all the ways that we all fail. And then He was willing to humble Himself to be crucified, to take on the curse of our sin upon Himself. We sang about that today, that the wrath of God against our sin was satisfied at the cross of Christ. Satisfied. So what are we saved from? The curse of sin. The wrath of God against our sin. We are saved from all of that, the power of sin, and we are brought into life in the Lord Jesus. And that's why, church, we want to proclaim the good news. We've got good news to share. We really do. I know you've all seen that commercial, or maybe you have, where there's a man and a woman, and it looks like they're getting ready to kiss, and then she pulls away from him. And she says, and when he says, "What's wrong?" And she says, "I love you, but as long as you're with," whatever her name is, Tony, "we can never have a history. We can never be together." And he says, "Oh, don't cry. I've got great news." And she says, "You're going to leave her?" And he says, "No, I saved a lot of money on car insurance by switching to Geico." If that is the kind of good news that we share, and that's it, do you see how that pales in comparison with the good news that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus, who died for sinners and rose from the dead, everyone who calls on His name will be saved from the wrath of God against their sin, from the curse of God that has been placed on them because of sin. They're saved from that. That's good news. And that's why Paul says in this passage in verse 15 that those who preach the good news, those who proclaim the good news, he says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." That's a weird saying, right? My sister, when I became pastor, she wrote me a note. And she said, "Stuart, your feet are ugly." And they are, believe me. I have to live with them. But she said, "Now that you've become a minister of the gospel, your feet are beautiful." You see, the idea here, and it comes from Isaiah 52, it's when there's a war happening, there's a battle happening, and people are sitting waiting. Are things going to be okay? And they see this messenger running. And maybe when he gets a little closer, they see there's a smile on his face and he's happy. And they're like, "It's good news." That guy's feet, they're beautiful because he's bringing good news. That's us. When we bring good news to other people, our feet are beautiful. Do you want beautiful feet? Tell someone about Jesus. Give them the good news. Because you see, this salvation in Christ, it comes to us through faith. That's what this passage tells us. This salvation in Christ, it doesn't happen automatically to everybody all over the world. It says it comes through faith. Verse 11, he says, "For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame." And then he says, "There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." But then he says, how will they know who to call upon unless they hear? And then in verse 17, he says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We hear the good news, and we respond in faith by calling on the name of Jesus, the one who died for our sins and rose from the dead, and we are saved. That is the good news. That's what we share with people. But sometimes we're afraid. We're afraid to share the good news. Maybe we think we don't have all the answers. Maybe we think, well, I'm not good enough. Maybe we think that someone's going to say something that's going to, you know, get us off track. There's a story of an evangelist who came to a certain town and he needed to mail a letter. And he asked the little boy on the street, "Do you know where the post office is?" And he said, "Oh, you go down this street and then you turn right and then it's over there on the left." And he's like, "Oh, okay, okay." And well, of course, he's an evangelist. So what's he supposed to do, right? He's supposed to evangelize. So he says to the little boy, "Hey, if you come to the crusade tonight, I'll tell you how to get to heaven." And the boy says, "No thanks. You don't even know how to get to the post office." And you think, do you think he stumbled a little bit? Do you think he was like, what do I do with that? And we're afraid of moments like that. We're afraid. But remember, people can't believe the good news if they don't know about it. People can't believe the good news if they don't know about it. Yes, we may be fearful to bridge that gap. Yes, we may have worries about how they're going to respond. But people can't believe the good news unless they know about it. If they don't know about it, they can't believe the good news. That's what Paul says here. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? You can't call on somebody you don't believe. And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? If you've never heard of Jesus, how can you call on Him? And how are they to hear about Jesus apart from someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? Paul's logic here is, unless the church goes outside of the walls and tells people about Jesus, and they hear, and they respond by calling out to Jesus, no one will be saved. Now, we're good Presbyterians here, and we believe in predestination. Ooh, I know, that's a heavy subject to come up in an evangelistic sermon, right? But there was a man, his name was William Carey. Not a Presbyterian, by the way, but still believed some of the same things that we believe. And William Carey came to his church and he said, I want to be a missionary in India because there are people there who don't know about Jesus and I want to tell them. And you know what those leaders of that church said? To their shame. They said, sit down, young man. If God wants to save the heathen, he'll do it without you. If God foreordains the ends, he also foreordains the means. And the means is that the church proclaims the good news to people around us. That's how this works. Okay? We cannot sit back and say, we believe God's sovereign, so he's got it. Yes, he has it. But he has it by saying, church, I want you to go out there and do it. I want to build the church through you. Think about what an honor that is. Jesus could have built his church any way he wanted to. But what he does is he says, I want you, I want you, I want you, I want you all to be a part of building the church. I'm going to build the church, Jesus says, but I want you to do it through my power, by the Spirit, simply by going out and speaking words. Wow. To put this in another context, I want you to think about something. Imagine there is a group of people who have the cure for cancer. Now, this church has seen more than its fair share of cancer. And we've had some success stories, and we've had some that weren't such success stories. But we all know the C word. Imagine there's a group of people who have the cure for cancer, and they say, we're not sharing this with anybody. We're keeping this to ourselves. You know, if we get cancer, we'll be fine. But I'm not sharing it with anybody else. If you found out about that, how would you feel? How would you react to that group of people? Maybe you would react the same way that Penn Jillette of the magician duo Penn and Teller, maybe you've heard of them. Penn Jillette is an atheist. And he goes way out of his way to let everybody know that he's an atheist. But at one of his magic shows, at the end of it, someone came up to him, gave him a Bible, and told him about Jesus. And he went online, he recorded a video and put it online. You can go, you can YouTube it, and you can find it. Where he talks about how much he respects and admires this person. How much he appreciated what they did. Why? And here's a quote. He says, I've always said that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. That is, try to get people to believe what they believe. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and a hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life and you think that it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, how much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I tell you, every time I have seen that quote or watched that video, it stirs me up. Because I think, yeah. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, you care for them in physical, tangible ways. But love your neighbor as yourself also would mean telling them the best news there ever has been and ever will be. That your sins are forgiven in Jesus. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's some good news. And we don't want to be like the cancer people who are holding that news in. No, we want to spread it to people all over. And I know what some people are thinking. You're thinking, that's fine, Stuart, but you know, God calls some people to be evangelists. God calls some people to be missionaries. Not me, though. So I don't have to worry with this. That's what we pay, you know, missionaries the big bucks for. That's why we bring evangelists to town. So that they'll do the work of evangelism. Okay. Well, while God calls certain people as evangelists, and He does, we are all called as witnesses of the good news of Jesus. Okay, don't call yourself an evangelist. That's fine. You are a witness to the good news of Jesus. Yes, God calls certain people as evangelists. We see that in Ephesians 4. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, see? The shepherds and the teachers. Have you read the next verse, though? In Ephesians 4. He gave some to be apostles and teachers and prophets and evangelists and shepherds. Why did He do this? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. So what do those evangelists do? They teach us how to be witnesses for Jesus. Don't believe that? Think about how some people say the Great Commission was only for the apostles. And I've heard this argument. You know, when Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," that was only for the apostles. That's not for the church, people, general people. I love what D.A. Carson said with a little bit of a snark. He says, Jesus didn't say, "Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, except for this commandment that I'm giving you now to make disciples. Tell them to keep their grubby hands off that one, since it belongs only to you, my dear apostles." If Jesus says, "Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you," well, that's going into all nations. And we start right here in this community. We don't have to go to Africa or Asia or Australia to share the good news of Jesus. We can do that right here, right across the street, right down the street, telling people about Jesus. Yeah, we may not all be evangelists with a capital E, but we are all witnesses of what the power of the gospel has done in our lives. I once was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. If that's all you've got, that's still the good news, sharing with others. And folks, if none of that seems to float your boat and you still are saying, you know, I still don't think that the regular people in the church are supposed to share their faith. It's the job of the evangelist. Then I want you to think about Acts chapter 8. This came to my attention this week as I was preparing for this sermon, and I never really noticed this before. In Acts chapter 8, Stephen in chapter 7 had just been stoned. And it says in chapter 8, verse 1, there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they, the church, were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. You hear what I just said? The whole church is scattered except the apostles. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. Everybody else was scattered. And then verse 4 says this, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. You get that? Everybody. They all were a part of the job of telling others the good news of a resurrected Savior who saves to the uttermost. So every one of us has a part to play, even if it's just saying, look, I don't know much, but I know Jesus saves. That can be very powerful. And when it comes down to it, I think that's where we're really afraid of. What we're really afraid of is that we're powerless. That I carry on my shoulders the weight of someone responding in faith. That I carry on my shoulders whether someone will respond or not. It's all up to me. If I say the right words, if I say the right things, if I don't stumble, I have just the right presentation and that will bring about their faith. That's what we start to think, right? And that's why sometimes we fail to share, why we fail to talk about Jesus, because we think, I'm not good enough. I don't have the ability. I don't have the power. Can I share some good news with you? The power behind our evangelistic efforts is not from us. It's not. The power behind our evangelistic efforts is not from us, it is from God Himself. Hear that, church. There is no distinction, this passage says, between Jew and Greek, for all, for the same Lord, Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Who saves this person who calls on the name of Jesus? Is it you? By your great presentation, did you save that person? No. Jesus saves. Jesus is the one who saves. And he bestows His riches on all who call on Him. All who call on Him. Romans 1:16 says, we're not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. The gospel itself is power. You've got the power if you have the gospel. Not because the power comes from you, but because God has given you the power. Can I illustrate that? You guys know that Hurricane Dorian just kind of went through here, and we were expecting something really major, and it was a little windy, a little rainy, but nothing major. I don't know about you, but we didn't even lose power. Our electricity stayed on the entire time. But just imagine if Hurricane Dorian had done to Sumter what it did to the Bahamas. That'd be awful, right? We'd be without power and water and food and all kinds of things for weeks. Some of you remember, I wasn't here, but some of you remember Hugo, and that was sort of what it was like. So what if Dorian knocked out all our power for weeks? And we're in our homes, and we're trying to make do, but there's no power. No electricity. We can flip that switch all we want to, and nothing happens. And then these people come in, and they restore the wires, and the electricity comes flowing through into your house, and suddenly all your lights come on, your clocks are blinking, your air conditioning comes back on. Because the power is there. Now let me ask you, did you do anything for that power to come on? No, you're just sitting in your home. Do you get to enjoy that power that came into your home? Yeah. The same is true for the power of God in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get the power to see people come to faith, not because of your presentation, not because you had all the right words, but because God is faithful to His Word. And you can proclaim the good news of Jesus, even if you're fumbling and stumbling over your words, and God can use that, and out of His power, He can bring people to Himself. Do you believe that? All who call on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved, but how will they call on Him unless they hear? Are you willing to be a church on mission, to go out into this community and just talk about Jesus? And again, you're probably saying, well, wait, Stuart, you know, I got to have it all together. No, just Jesus. Jesus died for my sins and He rose from the dead. And my life has changed because of that. That's powerful. Because it's part of the gospel message. And the gospel message is the power of God for the salvation of who believe. It's not up to you, it's up to God. You hear me? So, church, let's involve ourselves in the work of telling others about Jesus. Let's get involved in that and leave the results of our efforts up to Him, because it belongs to Him anyway. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the good news of salvation that comes through Jesus. Thank You that so many in this room today have called on the name of the Lord Jesus and they have been saved. That You have saved them from their sin. That You have given them life abundant. That You have given them a promise of the age to come. Wow. You really have poured out Your riches on us. Help us not to hold that in. But when we leave this place today, to share the good news with our coworkers, our fellow students, our family members, our neighbors, the people in circles, give us the ability to believe that all we have to do is be faithful to talk about Jesus, and You take care of the rest. Help us in that, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.